Good morning. Yesterday, I went and got a haircut. I hadn't got my hair cut since early October. And I was contemplating growing it out. Kathy and I had watched the movie Thor, and I thought, yeah, I could do that look. Not really. But I was just contemplating letting it grow a little further, although it was getting a little out of control. My secretary said I was starting to resemble a homeless person. And this is what tipped me over the edge to go get my hair cut. I stopped at my neighbor's house. When I was going home, I saw that their car window was open and it was raining out. So I went to my across-the-street neighbor's house, whom I probably haven't talked to in person in better than, well, it was before Christmas, so... and I went, knocked on his door, and he answered the door, and he did not know who I was. I thought, yeah, it's time to get a haircut. So I made an appointment, and, I went in yesterday to get the haircut, and I had called up and made the appointment for 2 o'clock, told him my name, and he knows me, and I went in, just like 2 minutes to 2 and sat down, and they were a little behind, so there was a guy ahead of me, and, when he was getting the one guy out of the chair and asking the guy ahead of me to come up, he looked at me and said, did you have an appointment? And I said, yeah, I have a 2 o'clock. And he goes, oh, my barber did not know who I was. So, yeah, it was time. And I was starting to look like a homeless person. Don't be evil. It was the official motto of Google and was the first thing in the company handbook for years was their motto, don't be evil. It was all over the company. They had it on the walls. They put it in all of their literature. Oddly enough, when the corporation restructured as Alphabet, that motto largely just kind of went away. Although they will point out that they still have it around, but it was replaced mostly with a new motto that says, do the right thing. That's their official motto now. It's a subtle difference, which I'm sure was focused on actively doing good instead of just not doing evil. Okay, I'm actually good with that. A proactive good thing instead of a don't do the evil thing, if you're actually putting it into practice. But I'm not here to talk about big tech corporations. I'm here to talk about ideas, specifically ideas from God. Ideas that he gave us in his word, the Bible. If you're on the interwebs, or even if you just watch the news on TV, you have undoubtedly seen these things. Videos of people out there actively doing good. Someone going to a person in need and helping out. Or someone just posting a story about somebody who went out of their way to do something good for someone else. Perhaps you've even done this, posted something, a video or something on these lines or a picture. I have. But we do it because it's the right thing to do, but we also do it because it feels good to do good, doesn't it? When you find yourself doing good for someone else, it feels good. We see some need which has not been met, and we feel compelled to meet that need. For some of us, this is partially because that's how we were brought up. We learned that it's the right thing to do as we grew up. When we were children, our parents, our grandparents, our Sunday school teachers, our preachers, they taught us that that's the right thing to do. But those who maybe didn't even learn that as a child or as an adult, really, for nearly everyone, including those of us who learned it, there is a compulsion to act in kindness. I believe that it's because we are made in the image of God. We are made with His likeness instilled in us. And I believe that because God is of that nature, then we have some of that in us naturally. To help someone out or even something like an animal, it comes naturally because we are compassionate and we're caring due to that innate trait put in us by God. But don't underestimate that aspect of learning to do this, that you're people that are taught to do this. Many grow up learning to put away their compassion. Some people in very privileged positions grow up thinking and being taught that most people are beneath them, that servants aren't as important as they are. Many people in situations like those who grow up in Hinduism grow up thinking that people who are suffering deserve it. They deserve it for sins in their past life. And not only should you not help them, but if you do help them, that might be good karma for you, but now you've not helped them because they have to work off that bad karma they earned somewhere else. And if you just help them out of their situation, they're going to have to go through more suffering to burn off that bad karma. And so they're taught that maybe they shouldn't help them. Most of us, however, have empathy toward those who are in need. It's simply a compulsion to do what is right. I really have to admit also that I enjoy seeing videos of this kind. You go on Facebook or any of these other things and you see a video of someone going out of their way to help a person or an animal or whatever, somebody who's hurting, and someone says, I'm going to intervene here and I'm going to help. I enjoy those. It's heartwarming, and I've had a tear in my eye on many occasions when you see the look on the eyes of the person or animal who is given love instead of cruelty. Sometimes, however, it seems to cross some kind of a line. I'm not exactly sure where that line is, because we want to see and hear about where people are doing good for mankind. I like to get feedback from places like Ides and Fame, where they show what is being done. There just seems to be something amiss, however, when I see someone taking a selfie of them helping a homeless person or posting a video showing how they just ordered pizza or bought shoes or what have you for a homeless person or a family in need. It somehow seems self-aggrandizing. Perhaps that's not what the person intended to do. But sometimes they or we literally say, hey, look, I just gave something to this person because they needed it. Okay, great, that's a good thing to do. But did you have to tell the whole world about it? I think that the epitome of this, I saw a video where this guy, he's shooting this video with his phone, and he's back maybe, I don't know, 50 feet. And he's shooting video of a homeless person on the street in some major city, and a pizza delivery guy rolls up and goes up and asks him his name and says, hey, are you John? And he's like, yeah. And he says, well, here, this pizza was just ordered for you. And the guy is back 50 feet, and he says, I just ordered pizza for this homeless guy, but I'm not going to be there when he gets it because I want it to be anonymous. And then he shares that he did it with 14 million people. I'm going, really? Anonymous? Okay, I appreciate you did something good, I appreciate that you don't want that guy knowing who did the good for him. But did you feel the need to tell everybody on the world that you did this great thing? I can see how that could be really good, and I really like it when that sort of thing is done, say, by a third person, where somebody else notices someone doing something good, and they film it, and they say, hey, I just had to share. I'm watching this person over there. They don't even know I'm filming them, but they're doing this really great thing for this other person. I think that's wonderful. What I think is even better is when all parties involved are anonymous except to say that this is to the glory of God. I love to see things like that, but somehow there's this line that gets crossed when it's, hey, look at the good things I'm doing. Look how great I am. If we're showing the good work which was done for the purpose of letting people know that it was done, then that kind of defeats part of it. Yes, there's still good done because you have helped someone. I think it's also, and I want to be clear here, when we show things of like what Ides has done, they're not saying, look what I did. They're saying, look what you did for the glory of God. When we say, hey, look what Fame has done. Hey, look what this mission has done. We're not saying that person. We're saying a lot of people for the glory of God are doing this. And by the way, this is how that money's being spent. It is great when things are done for God's glory. It is great when things are done. It is best when things are done for God's glory and to help the person, but those are the only things that come about it. For the Christian, this is a bit of a fine line to walk because we are in fact told to do good works, but we are called to do them not for the glory that we would get from others seeing us do that. Please turn with me in your Bibles or follow along above, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There are a lot of hard teachings in the Bible. There are some teachings in the Bible that I have a really difficult time sitting down and explaining with people because they're very hard. Some of them seem nearly impossible. This one just seems kind of frustrating. Why? Well, it isn't because it's terribly difficult. Look, this may seem a harsh thing to say, but for most people, they're either going to do good deeds for their fellow person, or they're not. That isn't really the part that's difficult. The part which is difficult is that everyone, all of us, no matter how much you might say, you know, that's not an important thing to you, everybody likes to be liked. We all do. How does that come into play with this? Quite easily. It's very likely that people will like you if they know that you do selfless things to help other people, specifically people in need. That is a trait that people admire. But if we have to do it and then not tell anybody, well, then no one sees that we did this nice thing, and therefore our good deed doesn't do us any good. It does good for the person it was intended to help. Imagine that. Ronald Reagan said, and he may have been quoting somebody else, so if you know this quote better than I do, don't come up to me and say, oh, he was quoting this. Okay, I admit that. Maybe he was. But he said, there is no limit to the amount of good that can be done if you don't care who gets the credit. The problem is that we've become a culture in which virtue signaling, pointing out the good things you participate in, which should make it very clear to everybody around you that you are a better person than they are. Virtue signaling is expected. Most big corporations are very quick to point out the wondrous, politically correct, woke things that they participate in or contribute to. Many have a page on their website just for that. I think part of this is as kind of a tax that they pay so that they don't get protested by people that are angry. But that isn't all. I personally have known, and you might have also, young people who had to go out and find some kind of community service to do because they had to have something of that nature to put on an application for a scholarship or for something else. They're going down and they're preparing these things to put, and they're like, yeah, you're kind of weak on the public service thing. You have to go out and find some public service to do so that you can brag about it on this. That's expected. That's part of our society. I have even had, when I was managing the bus garage back when the economy was terrible, I would get resumes from people. That's how bad the economy was. People who were doing resumes were applying to become a bus driver. I was too. And I would get some of the people that filled out the applications, they just, here you go. But sometimes I would get resumes, and on their resume, they didn't just have their work experience and their education experience, they would also have a part where they say, and this is the community service that I do. Because it's expected. Our society has come to a point where in order for you to move up at all, you have to brag about the good things that you did. Can you imagine if somebody filled out an application for a scholarship, and under the section where it said community service, they just put my religion forbids me from bragging about these things, so I can't tell you about them. People would be like, say what? You can't just do that. You got to tell us how good of a person you are so we know if we want to reward you or not. Don't get me wrong. I'd like people to give of themselves. It's a good thing to do. But if you are literally only doing it because it will look good on a resume, that sort of defeats the purpose. Jesus refers to people who do acts of righteousness for the purpose of being seen by other people as hypocrites. Now, don't get me wrong. If you do good deeds and other people happen to notice it, that's not a sin. It's when people do it because they want other people to notice it that Jesus says, yeah, that's no good. The word hypocrites means actors who put on a mask to play a part, meaning that they don't do this because the love of God is in them. They do it because they want others to think good about them. There is evidence of the Pharisees doing this sort of thing, and Jesus calls them out on it several different times. Their main goal was not to do good, but to be seen doing good. We even have record of a Christian doing this very thing despite the very clear warning of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, we see that among the early church, there were many people who were willing to share of their Christian or with their Christian brothers and sisters who were in need, because they were blessed and they were willing to say, hey, I see this person that I go to church with who doesn't even have any food. They're a slave, or they're just in terribly impoverished. They did this because there was a need and they felt compassion. It did, however, have a side effect that they didn't intend. While they were doing it for the purpose of just doing it and not being seen by others, others did in fact see it. And those who saw it knew that they were doing a very good thing. They were good, loving people. And other people saw them noticing the other people. And they wanted some of that attention. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, if you would. Acts chapter 5, 1 through 4. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of this land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Not only did these two want the accolades for being generous to those in need, but they wanted to do it on the cheap. They were trying to bargain hunt for man's approval, and it didn't end well. Right after Ananias gets called out by Peter, he drops dead. Maybe of a heart attack, I'm not sure. But he dies. Then the wife comes in. Peter gives her a chance to come clean, even specifically asking if this was how much they got for the field. She lies, and she dies. Now, this story can sometimes be maligned by those who are not fully comprehending it. It completely is not saying that you have to give everything to God and the church. Peter points out that they didn't have to give one cent of it to the church. They were under no obligation. It was theirs to do with as they pleased, both before they sold it and after they sold it. What was wrong in this entire scenario was the motivation behind what they did. They wanted two things that were evil. They wanted glory for being generous instead of just desiring to do good, and they also wanted the money, and so they lied about it. It is, in fact, a difficult thing to be generous and have people not realize it. If you're a generous person, people that know you are going to realize it, even if you try not to let people know about it. Sometimes it's just because we're doing things. Sometimes it's difficult to be that person who tries to keep it quiet, just because we want people to like us, which in and of itself isn't bad, but also because sometimes people might malign us as being not generous if they don't know what we're doing. I'm convinced that this is why most corporations have their bragging page where they point out the good things that they participate in. Because if people don't know about it, they'll assume that they don't do anything good. Politicians are often maligned for how little they give to charity if it doesn't show up on their tax forms. Well, maybe they didn't report it on their tax forms. I don't know. But our public and our press and our society essentially demands that people tell everybody about the generosity they have. Our culture requires it. Let us know what good deeds you've done, or we'll insist that you haven't done them. Jesus says this: none of it is their business, and whatever they think about your generosity isn't what's important. If you're doing good so that they'll be impressed, okay, but that's all you're going to get in reward. Instead, he says, and he's speaking to a religious audience here, he says in verses 3 and 4, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I have a very privileged position as a minister. As a minister in several different churches, I've had the opportunity on many times to be a fly on the wall. Now, I don't know if you know what I mean, and I'm not talking about what the offerings are or anything like that, because I keep totally out of that. The only thing I know is, like, when we have our business meeting, I know what the offerings are in general. I don't know anything about anybody who's given or whatever there. But I've had the opportunity to be a fly on the wall because I've been on multiple times asked to be a middleman when someone in a church that I've been at sees a need and says, hey, can you make sure that this gets to so-and-so? Because I think they need it. Nobody else knows about it, but I know about it just because I've acted as the middleman. Here's what they don't know. I've also seen when other people have blessed them in the same way. And it was wonderful to see on several different occasions. That is a beautiful thing to see when people are doing good just for the act of doing good. And then you see that good is done in return to them, and they don't even realize the two have anything to do with each other. You see, there's something about this passage that I think a lot of people don't realize. This passage is often taken to mean that when we do good deeds in secret, we will have our reward in heaven. It almost certainly does mean that. However, it is by no means a limitation which Jesus put on this passage that we'll just receive a reward in heaven. Jesus just says that God, who sees what is done in secret, will reward us. There is nothing limiting that to the hereafter. Now don't get worked up. Don't think I'm up here preaching health and wealth gospel. If you'll just give $10, God will give you $100. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not that guy. What I am saying is that God sees what you do. And he has said that when we do good for the mere sake of doing good and not for the purpose of having people see it and say, boy, isn't so-and-so just a great person, they're so generous, then he is not going to fail to give us some sort of reward. It might be that someone will inadvertently find out about it, and you will be blessed with the recognition of your action. It may be that he, God, will give you a physical monetary reward that you might never have expected. It may just be something as incredibly simple as you get the wonderful blessing of knowing and perhaps even seeing how your willingness to show compassion to another person has changed that person's life for the better. I've got to tell you, it seems to me far better to think about a life changed or a life saved through some money that I had in hand, and I could take that and buy another toy, buy another neat tool, do something with that. None of that ever feels as good to me as when I see how a life was changed through generosity. It's a strange dichotomy to me. We as Christians are expected to do good deeds for others, and it's not always money. A lot of times it can just be being kind. It can be coming up alongside someone and showing them compassion. It can be giving a ride to that person who's walking in the rain. It could be a lot of different things. We're expected to do those, and we're also expected to be careful about trying to do it in secret so that no one knows about the good deeds that we've done for others. And the world completely does not understand that. They don't get that one little bit. In fact, there are almost certainly people out there who would think, well, what's the point of me doing good if nobody knows about it? What we need to keep in mind is that the doing in and of itself is our reward. And our Heavenly Father always knows when we have done those things. We may think, well, we did some good and nobody knew about it. That is never, ever, ever the case. If you go to great lengths to keep something secret and make sure that not another breathing soul on this planet ever knows about it, which is a good thing to do, someone always knows about it. And God has said, when we do our good deeds and we do it not to be seen by others, that God will not fail to reward us. It might be just the wonderfulness of feeling the reward of seeing the good done. It might be somebody else sees us despite our efforts for them not to and tells other people that we're a good person and that we're generous. It might be that God blesses us physically. It might be just a bigger mansion in heaven. But God will not fail to make sure that we are rewarded. Don't do that as your motivation. Let's see, if I give $100, I'll have a big mansion in heaven. If I give $200, I'll have a bigger one. Don't do that as your motivation. But do things that are good for the point of doing good, and let God worry about everything that comes after that. It's His job, and He has promised that He will do so. Jesus looked at the people of His day, and He said, wow, what a bunch of hypocrites. He's looking at the Pharisees, and He's going, really? You're blowing trumpets as you're walking in to put your money in the offering plate, or box, or whatever they used. He says, yes, giving is good. Giving with proper motivation is far, far better because we get a blessing from God, not just a blessing from men. The best blessing from God that we have ever dreamed of is something that doesn't require us to give anything except ourselves. Give our lives to God. He promises to give eternal life to us. If you have not given your life to God, said, I surrender myself to you, I encourage you to do so because that is the greatest reward for nothing. You're giving up something you can't keep to get something that you can't earn. Giving your life to Christ. It's unbelievable the payback on that. There's no investment on earth that can even touch it.